Now the last verse talks about meditation. Gurudev has brought the idea of meditation. I mean, Bhagavan Sri Krishna and the Gurudev is interpreting it as the path of meditation and also the highest path. So verse number 28. So Vedeshu Yagneshu Tapasu Chaiva.
Vedeshu Yagneshu Tapasu Chaiva.
Daneshu Yat Punya Phalam Pradishtam.
Daneshu Yat Punya Phalam Pradishtam.
Atyeti Tat Sarvamidam Viditva.
Atyeti tat sarvamidam viditva.
Yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam.
Yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam.
Together. Vedeshu yajneshu tapasu chaiva. Daneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam. Atyeti tat sarvamidam viditva yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam. So this final instruction of the eighth chapter is Bhagavan says there are various paths for spiritual growth which have been mentioned in our Vedas. So what are the paths? One is Vedeshu. Vedeshu means study of the Vedas. When here the study of the Vedas is mentioned, it is the path of rituals and the path of Upasana. It is not Vedanta, it is not the Upanishads, it is the first three, the mantras, the Brahmanas and the Aranyakas, so which deal with the rituals and deal with Upasana. So when he says Vedeshu, Bhagavan is referring to these first three sections which deal with rituals and which deal with Upasana. He does not refer here to the highest, which is the Upanishad, which is the highest path of the Vedas. So that is not covered. So he says in Vedas, Yajna. Yajna means all the rituals, all the sacrifices. Tapa. Tapa is the austerities. And dana is charity. So study of the earlier part of the Vedas, the sacrifices, the austerities and the dana, yat in these punya phalam pradishtam. All of these get lot of punya, which is true. If you do charity, if you do sacrifice, you do austerity, you study the scriptures, you offer rituals, then you get punya phalam. You get the result, merit of these meritorious deeds, you get the fruit of these, and they are all good, there's nothing wrong with that. But Bhagavan says the one who has this highest goal, who is the yogi, who is the meditator, who has made this goal of life to be the highest, atyeti tat, atyeti means he crosses over tat sarvam idam. Having known the highest goal, he crosses all the three. Whatever you get from yajna, whatever you get from tapa, whatever you get from study, whatever you get from danam, those are all good, but the goal of life is to cross beyond these punya phalas, and yogi param sthanam, he reaches the highest goal, upaiti, reaches adhyam, the eternal, the first goal. So that means he or this seeker, it's okay, one has to practice these. We're not saying that one should not, he's not putting down dana or tapa or yajna, doing austerities, charity, rituals, those are all very good, pujas, study, but he says that those, what they do is they help to purify the mind. The mind becomes purified by doing all these practices, doing pujas, going to the temple, offering, doing sacrifice, doing fasting, doing some study and charity. Those are all wonderful, but one should not stop there. Those should be the stepping stones to the highest goal.
And that is the oneness, where one becomes one with God, which is the highest. So knowing all these, and you can practice, it doesn't mean you have to do all. Somebody, maybe one person may be enjoying puja more, or somebody may enjoy doing karma yoga, somebody likes bhakti, somebody likes to study, somebody likes to do rituals, austerity, sacrifices. Those are all wonderful, but do not get stuck over there, but keep growing, keep evolving. Why does Bhagwan mention these four paths? Because Arjuna was a student of the Vedas. He was a child of the Vedas. And in the Vedas, all these paths have been given a lot of importance. You know, rituals, sacrifices, doing yajnas, you know, doing dana. And a lot of times in those days, people misunderstood that that alone is important. If I do rituals, if I do sacrifices, if I do some austerity, some fasting, some charity, that alone is enough. And people often, and in fact, even Shankaracharyaji, even in the 8th century, had so much opposition when he told everybody, look, what we have to study is the Upanishads, where you and God are one. And people would, he had so much opposition, so much problem with Mandan Mishra and all of these people who opposed him, who said rituals alone are enough, or austerities alone are enough. You don't need to do that, and you are spreading the wrong knowledge, and so on. So that's what throughout history we find, that this path of the highest has been opposed by different philosophies, different schools of learning. So that's what they say, that give up the lower and pick the higher. Just like if you want to climb to the second floor, you stay on the first floor, you're not going to, because the stairs that have brought you up to the first floor, you have to give up and then take a second set of stairs. Otherwise, you will say, I'm here in the first floor, I enjoy this, that's good. But if your true goal is higher, then you have to give up the lower and attach to the higher. So the choice is heaven, from world to heaven, heaven to Brahma Loka, and then to the highest oneness. And for that, right knowledge is very important. Right knowledge, right teacher, and a proper understanding of what is my goal, what is my purpose in life, why am I doing what I'm doing. So knowledge and the clarity of the goal is very important. Talking about knowledge and clarity of goal, this man had a teenage son, about 13, 14, who used to come home by bus after school, and one day he comes and he's all out of breath, the boy, and father said, what happened? What happened? He says, Father, I saved $1. He said, how did you save a dollar? He says, you know, you give me a dollar to take the bus. So today I ran after the bus. I ran behind the bus and didn't take the bus, so I saved $1. So he thought that father will be very proud of him. So he says, you're such a fool. Father says, why are you calling me a fool? He says, if you had run after a taxi, you would have saved $20. So you have to have the right knowledge of what is my goal, what is my purpose, what am I trying to study, and what is my idea. So that is what they're saying, that have the right knowledge from a teacher, then your actions will be pure. And Gurudev in his commentary says that through meditation, one transcends. You go beyond, because all of these, when you're doing, you're still at the level of the mind and the intellect, whether I'm doing rituals or whether I'm doing austerities or sacrifice, or even when I'm reading or studying, I am at the level of the BMI, the mind and intellect. But it is only through the path of meditation that you transcend, you go beyond the mind to the world of Om, the world of oneness, the world of consciousness. So all these paths will take us to a point, and then ultimately the intellect gets tired, because the intellect and mind can only go so far, and only then you are able to evolve to that highest. So it says that Bhagwan has this mall for us, you know, this shopping mall. He said, what do you want? I have everything for you. He said, Bhagwan, I want sense pleasure. Here it is. This is the store you can go. No, I want powers. I want siddhis. I want to be able to predict the future, I want to read people's mind, I want to walk on water. It's okay, there's a store here for siddhis. But then these siddhis, what they do is they get you caught in there, and then your spiritual progress stops. You become egoistic. And somebody says, I want, you know, long-term joy. You know, joy on this earth is 5 and 10 years. I want joy for 1,000 years, 10,000. You say, okay, go to heaven. You can enjoy thousands of years. But person who says, I want you, I want Ishwara, I want the Lord, I want you and you alone, then he says, okay, that is the for whom the ninth chapter will tell us how we can know this Ishwara, how we can know. And in fact, the ninth chapter starts with the highest knowledge, but then very quickly it becomes very practical, where the Lord is telling us how to reach him, how to know him, and what pleases him. So he says, in life we are always chosen or given a choice, nitya and anitya, temporary and permanent. So if I choose temporary, yeah, okay, I will have temporary joy and enjoyment and progress, and then I will fall back. So choose the permanent, and for that vairagya is very, very important. It is very essential to have vairagya. Vairagya means a healthy relationship with the world, where I understand that yes, the world is necessary for me to function. I have to have, of course, a house and a savings and family and all those, but they are not going to give me the highest. So it's not giving up. One, of course, like these swamis and these swamijis and these masters, they give up the world completely and put on orange clothes or put on a priest's, you know, clothes and become dedicate their whole life to God, like these sons, like these nuns say, I am married to Jesus. That means I, for me, there is nobody else. As like Mirabai said also, that I am married to Sri Krishna. So that is the path of total vairagya. But for people like you and me who are still in the world, developing a very healthy relationship with things and beings. I need things and beings, but they have their limited purpose, and they can give me that my limited joy, but that is not my ultimate goal. So that's why in, I think I had mentioned that before also, but I don't know if I did or not, but like they say in real estate, you know, there are three most important things: location, location, location. You know, three most important things. So in spirituality, there are three most important things: vairagya, vairagya, vairagya. So dispassion, dispassion, dispassion. So only through dispassion you can choose. So detach from the lower and pick the higher. So the entire eighth chapter here finishes where the Lord has made it very clear to us as to what is our goal, how we should choose it, and what happens after death. Very well it has been covered, and the choices have been made very clear to us. So after this, now the ninth chapter will take us even higher to enlightenment in this life itself, what is called Jivan Mukti, and the path that has been chosen by all the great masters, how we can reach that in this life itself. So that will be starting from next week. So we finish this beautiful chapter. We have a few minutes. If anybody would like if anybody would like to ask any questions or add anything.
I have a question.
Sure.
Where did the idea of chakras come from? Is that in the Vedas or is it Patanjali?
The idea of what?
The chakras.
Chakras. Yeah, the chakras have been described in our Upanishads and in the, yes, in the scriptures. They have been described.
With those names, I just...
Yeah, those so names. The names are the Sanskrit names, like Vishuddhi Chakra, Agnya Chakra, Anahatya. They are all there in the Vedas, in the scripture. And then we translate them into English as heart chakra, throat chakra and all that. But the Sanskrit names...
In Patanjali Yoga Sutras,
that's where it was first mentioned. Patanjali was a very ancient rishi who has given us a lot of these methods.
But it is in the Vedas and the Upanishads?
Yes. It is covered many places.
Well, I had one other question. when you were talking about the two paths, the sun and the moon, I was thinking about, I think it's in Drigdersha, where they talk about the sun being like the Shakshi. Is that the word, Shakshi?
Sakshi is the witness.
So Sakshi, and then the moon being where the sun is reflected, that being the mind.
Yes, yes. So the sun represents knowledge, represents light, and the moon represents mind, because the mind is the reflection of consciousness. So the total consciousness, Sakshi, is reflected in the mind, and then gives. Then the individual becomes alive. So yes, the moon is reflected light. Yes. So it is symbolic of the highest, and then the reflection, the mind. Yes. So that's why.
Is that different?
No, it's the same. These are just different, but it's the meaning is the same.
That's why moon is mentioned with the mind always.
Yeah, moon is always mentioned with the mind, and that's why they say when there's the full moon, there is more agitation. People are more, they have more problems, you know, emotional problems and so on. Yeah. And also moon is connected with the mind and then connected with sense organs, because the mind is connected. So the sense pleasures.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good questions.
Anil, what was the name of the seventh chakra, one which is connected with Nirguna?
Sahasra.
Upasana.
Sahasra, the thousand petaled chakra, Sahasra chakra.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Tony, you have a question? Yeah, Lata.
Are the Sushushma and Ida and Pingala nadis go along with chakra?
Yeah, no, those are the Sushumna nadis. Those are the those are not the chakras. Those are our circulatory, sympathetic and parasympathetic. And the Sushumna nadi is used by the enlightened master to go out from the Andhra, from the Randhra chakra from here. So those are those are connected with the nervous and the sympathetic and parasympathetic systems.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
But the chakras are energy centers. There are seven energy centers where the energy of the nervous system is concentrated. So starting from the tailbone, then the groin, then the belly button, the heart, and so on, moving upwards.
So aren't these nadis considered the movement of that energy?
Yes.
Through the...
Yes. Yes, the movement of this energy happens through these nadis, yes.
Is it same as prana and apana, right?
No, prana apana is different. Prana is
physiological.
Prana is intake, and apana is excretion. So that is physiological.
Those two nadis are connected with that. I think I don't know.
No. The prana is the intake.
Sushumna is connected with prana.
I'm not very familiar with that. But my understanding is prana is the intake, whether you take it by mouth or through breath.
There are five pranas.
Five pranas. And the intake apana. And apana is excretion.
Vyana.
And samana is digestion. Vyana is circulation. And udana is the final removal at the time of death, when the subtle body leaves. So all the intake that happens through anything is prana. And tries through the breath, through the mouth, and then the apana is the excretion, and then samana is when the circulatory system. So these are the five physiological systems. The nervous system is connected with it, but they are different in the yogic literature. At least I am not familiar with it that much. Maybe Soneji might know. You can ask him.
I think he was talking about it, but I have to clarify also.
Right.
He always connect those nadis with prana, but I'll find out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Okay, we can do the end of the eighth chapter. Jayashri, if you can please chant. So, Om Tat Sat Iti.
Om Tat Sat Iti.
Srimad Bhagavad Gitasu.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita
Upanishadsu
Upanishadsu.
Brahma Vidyayam. Brahma Vidyayam.
Brahma Vidyayam.
Yoga Shastre.
Yoga Shastre.
Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade.
Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade.
Akshara Brahma Yogo Nama.
Akshara Brahma Yogo Nama.
Ashtamo Dhyayah.
Ashtamo Dhyayah.
So here Bhagavan Shri Krishna ends Om Tat Sat Iti. Om and Tat and Sat are God's names. Om, of course, represents the Supreme Consciousness, which is also indicated as Tat, as that, and also as Sat, as existence. So Om Tat Sat are God's names. Iti, thus, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su, in the blessed, in the blessed Bhagavad Gita, the highly evolved Bhagavad Gita Su, Upanishadsu in the Upanishad. So the Bhagavad Gita is considered as an Upanishad because it is a essence of the Upanishad. So Brahma Vidyayam, it is the knowledge of the highest Brahman. And it is given to us in the Bhagavad Gita. And also Yoga Shastre, and how this knowledge can be applied in our daily life to connect us with God. Yoga Shastre. So this, in this, this wonderful teaching of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the Upanishad, which tells us about Brahman and connects us to him. And where did we hear it? Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. It is a dialogue between Shri Krishna and Arjuna, the teacher and the student. And what is the name of the chapter? Akshara Brahma Yogo Nama. It is the yoga of the imperishable Brahman. And Ashtamo Dhyayah, and it is the 8th chapter. So the 8th chapter appears in the Bhagavad Gita, which tells us about the Supreme Lord, and it is called Akshara Brahma Yoga Nama. And we are grateful to Bhagavan Shri Krishna and Arjuna for this knowledge, and to Ved Vyas Ji for bringing it into our understanding, and then of course Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda Ji for his commentary and for giving us an opportunity to study. And I'd like to thank all of you for again giving me an opportunity to study this beautiful text and participate. So thank you very much. We end here. We can ask Jayashree to please chant the Hanuman Chalisa. It is just a prayer to Hanuman Ji for all the what is happening in the world, and to give us the just one little point I just forgot to mention, that the reason for studying and breaking up into these chapters is that at the end of the 8th chapter I should then take time to understand where am I, how have I made progress, has this knowledge helped me, has it changed my life, and have I been able to bring these teachings into my life. So it is like gives us an opportunity to reflect. So that is why these, and also divides up the topic easy for us to understand. So next week we'll do the 9th chapter. It's my most favorite chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. All chapters are good, but the 9th I think is the most wonderful chapter where we can very much apply this knowledge. So we'll see you next week. Thank you, Jayashree, for chanting the Hanuman Chalisa. Then we'll do the closing prayers.
Shri Guru Charana Sarojaraja Nijamana Mukura Sudhari Varano Raghuvara Vimalayasha Jodayaka Palachari Buddhihina Tanujanike Sumiro Pavana Kumara Palabuddhi Vidya Dehu Mohi Harahu Kalesa Vikara Jai Hanumana Gnana Guna Sagar Jai Kapisa Tihu Loka Ujagar Ramaduta Tulita Baladama Anjani Putra Pavana Sutanama Mahavira Vikrama Bajarangi Kumati Nivara Sumati Kesange Kanchana Varana Viraja Suvesa ಆನನ ಕುಂಡಲ ಕುಂಚಿತ ಕೇಶ ಆತ ವಜ್ರ ಔಧ್ವಜ ವಿರಾಜೆ
कांदे मुंज जने मूसाजे शंकर सुवन केसरी नंदन तेज प्रताप महाजगवंदन विद्यावान गुणी अति चातुर राम काज करिबे को आतुर प्रभु चरित्र सुनिबे को रसिया राम लखन सीता मन बसिया सूक्ष्म रूप धरि सिहै दिकावा विकट रूप धरि लंक जरावा भीम रूप धरि असुर संहारे रामचंद्र के काज संहारे लायस जीवन लखन जियाये श्री रघुवीर हर शिवुर लाये रघुपति कीन्ही बहत बड़ाई तुम मम प्रिय भरत ही समबाई सहस बदन तुमरो यश गावे अस कही श्रीपति कंठ लगावे सनकादिक ब्रह्मादि मुनीसा नारद सारद सहित अईसा यम कुबेर दिगपाल जहांते कवि कोविद कही सके कहांते तुम उपकार सुग्रीव ही कीना राम निलाय राजपद दीना तुमरो मंत्र विभीषण माना लंकेश्वर भय सब जग जाना युग सहस्त्र योजन परवानो लील्यो ताहि मधुर पल जानो प्रभु मुद्रिका मेले मुख माही जल दिलांग गए अचरज नाही दुर्गम काज जगत के जेते सुगम अनुग्रह तुमरे देते राम दुआरे तुम रखवारे हो तन आज्ञा बिनु पैसारे सब सुख लहे तुम्हारी सरना तुम रक्षक का हो को डरना आपन तेज संहारो आपे तीनों लोक हंकते कापे भूत पिशाची निकट नहीं आवे महावीर जब नाम सुनावे नासे रोग हरे सब पीरा जपत निरंतर हनुमत वीरा संकट ते हनुमान चुड़ावे मन क्रम वचन ध्यान जो लावे सब पर राम तपस्वी राजा तिनके काज सकल तुम साजा और मनोरथ जो कोई लावे सोई अमित जीवन फल पावे चारो युग प्रताप तुम्हारा है पर सिद्ध जगत उजियारा साधु संत के तुम रखवारे असुर निकंदन राम दुलारे अष्ट सिद्धि नव निधि के दाता अस पर दीन जान की माता राम रसायन तुम्हारे पासा सदा रहो रघुपति के दासा तुम्हारे वचन राम को पावे जन्म जन्म के दुख बिसरावे अंत काल रघुपति पुर जाई जहाँ जन्म हरि भक्त कहाई और देवता चित्तन धरई हनुमत से ही सर्व सुख करई संकट कटे मिटे सब पीरा जो सुमिरे हनुमत बलवीरा जय 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 हनुमान गुसाई कृपा करहु गुरु देव किनाई जोशत बार पाठ कर कोई झूठ ही बंदी महा सुख होई जो यह पढ़े हनुमान चालीसा हो या सिद्धि सा की गौरीसा तुलसीदास सदा हरि चेरा की जय नाथ हृदय महडेरा की जय नाथ हृदय महडेरा पवन तनय संकट हरण मंगल मूरति रूप राम लखन सीता सहित हृदय बसहु सुरभूप सियावर राम चंद्र की जय पवन सुत हनुमान की जय उमापति महादेव की जय बोलो भय सब संतन की जय
श्री सद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय थैंक यू वेरी मच सी यू संडे हरि ओम ओम सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत् ओम असतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः।
Hari Om.
Thank you.